And I'd like to start by just saying good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want you to know that it's my distinct honor to bring you the Word of God this morning. And I hope your hearts are like soft wax that can be molded by God's Word this morning to receive and to be shaped how God wants you to be shaped. We're on our fourth and final sermon in our sermon series titled, What We Believe. And throughout this series, we've looked at four core doctrines. So the Assemblies of God has 16 fundamental truths, things that we believe to be what is necessary. But there's four of them that we call our core doctrines. And the way that we view these doctrines is that they are crucial in reaching the lost and building the church and building the believer today and in the future. Because who knows if we're not building the church and the believer, it soon ceases to exist. Amen. And so this is what we consider our four core doctrines. And if I'm to recap the last 3 weeks, the first week we learned that salvation is what? By faith and not works. It is not by works that we make it into heaven. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross and our faith in that that we find our way into heaven. Then the second week, we heard how the Lord continues to heal through the doctrine of divine healing, revealing Himself and how the church must continue to preach, to teach, and to practice this ministry because it reveals the nature and character of Jesus Christ. And last week, we were challenged to consider the importance of every believer to seek the empowerment of the Spirit through Spirit baptism, because Spirit baptism brings us empowerment, and we need that power to go forth and to be His disciples in this world. So this week we're looking at the fourth core doctrine, and it is the blessed hope. And I've titled today's sermon, Do You Have Hope? It doesn't sound like it's going to be deep, but hopefully we get there. But the question this morning that we have to answer is, do we have hope? Let me invite you to open your Bible this morning. I hope you have one or someone next to you has one that you can look on with. Let's open them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And while you turn there, I'd like to share this story with you. During World War II, after the American troops were forced to surrender the Philippines to the Japanese in May of 1942, General MacArthur vowed to retake the islands. He printed the words, I will return, on thousands of leaflets, which then were scattered across the country by airplanes. He kept his promise 2 years later. Did you know that Jesus made His intention clear to return? He made it very clear. Although the date of His coming is a secret, He taught on many occasions that we should not doubt that it will happen. The second coming of Jesus Christ will be the next great turning point in the history of the world. Jesus taught that when He comes, everyone who has ever lived will have to stand before Him and be judged. There will be a great division. Some will find their ways into heaven. Others will not be as fortunate. Let's read our scripture this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Church, we have a great reason to have hope this morning. This is the greatest promise that we have, because as faithful followers, Christ has promised that He will return for us. Hallelujah. Period. We will be caught up and called home to be with Jesus. And here's the important thing. We won't precede the dead. The dead are going to rise first. So here's a promise that we have, is that we're going to be reunited with our loved ones who were believers to spend eternity in heaven with them. Now, if that doesn't give you reason to have hope, because eternity is an awful long time. Paul uses the word, I think we need to look at this for just a second, verse 17. Paul uses the word we. Here's why he used the word we. Let's just read 17 real quick. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. This we is because Paul believed that the Lord's return could happen while he was still alive. And that is displayed through the sense of urgency and anticipation that we will get throughout the books of Thessalonians. He fully hoped and prayed that the Lord was going to return. Now, some 2,000 years later, here we are. Guess what, church? We have to hold that same urgency and expectation of the Lord's soon return. In fact, there are several scriptures throughout, several verses throughout scripture that will tell us to remain alert and ready for the Lord's return. Let's talk about what is the blessed hope. And I hope we've already kind of covered it, but we're going to dive in here. The blessed hope is Jesus' return for His church. That is the blessed hope. It is the blessed hope, or also called the second coming. And this comes from Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Right there, that is our blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So what does this blessed hope, what is Jesus' second coming, what is Jesus' soon return, what does that mean for us today? How does that impact us today? Well, we go to the Bible to answer such questions, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, it says this, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This tells us at the same time that the dead in Christ are being raised, followers of Christ who are alive on earth will be transformed. Hallelujah. And just like that. Their bodies becoming imperishable, becoming immortal. In an instant, all of this takes place upon His return. Then if we look at our main scripture again, verse Thessalonians, I won't read through it again, but it was the main scripture that we read through. It tells us that both the resurrected and those who will be instantly transformed will be what? We will be caught up together. We will be caught up in the clouds with Jesus to meet Christ in the air. Here's what this tells us, that we will be visibly united with Jesus Christ. We'll be visibly united with Christ, taken to heaven, and reunited with our loved ones who have deceased to go to heaven to spend eternity with them. Then 2 Corinthians 5:2, it just further explains this concept. For in this tent we groan. Who has pain this morning? Who ached climbing out of bed this morning? Who ached going to bed last night? Listen, there comes a day, if we keep reading 2 Corinthians verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, we long to put on our heavenly dwelling. What is our heavenly dwelling? Our imperishable and our immortal body. that we receive upon Christ's return. Then we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body, to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. In essence, what these verses are telling us is that we will be removed from all suffering and all distress. So if you have pain this morning, there comes a day when pain is no more. If you have heartbreak because a loved one has went on before you, that heartache is gone. Tears get replaced with joy. And I don't know if anyone's got a weird finger that they've never really liked, but if you have a weird finger, you're going to get a new one when we get to heaven. We get clothed in His glorious body. Lastly, we look at Revelations chapter 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. This is speaking on a couple of things. First, it is our promise that we will be saved from all persecution and oppression and the entire realm of sin and death. It also tells us that the church is raptured before God's wrath falls on the earth. We will not be part of that. So, the blessed hope, it carries a lot of benefit. Jesus' soon return should give us great hope and anticipation. In fact, we have much to look forward to. We just went through a handful of the things that we have to look forward to. So we should be eagerly looking toward the fulfillment, the same way that Paul was looking towards the fulfillment when he said, we who are still alive, we should look forward to the fulfillment of His promise. Because church, we share in the blessed hope. Now, I wonder this morning, do you share in that blessed hope? Amen. Do you share in that blessed hope this morning? I wonder if you're living with that daily hope and expectation that today could be the day. Am I living my life in such a way that if Jesus comes today, I'm being caught up in the clouds with Him? Is that the hope? Or are you waking up and you focusing on your issues, your pain, your finances, whatever? Or are you waking up saying, today's the day, Lord Jesus, bring me home, I'm ready to come. Amen. What is your anticipation that you carry? Now, if you're not sure, here's a quick and easy way to see if you are. Ready? Everybody gets to answer this in their head. What would you change in your life right now if you knew for certain that Jesus was coming back, let's say, in 6 months? What would you change in your life if you knew you had 6 months? Got really quiet in here. How would you change? How would your life change? What would you do differently? Whom would you maybe seek to be reconciled with? Whom would you actually start praying for? Right? We like to say, I'll pray for you, but do we actually follow through? Who would you fervently start praying for if you knew you had 6 months before Jesus returned? Whom would you seek to share the gospel with? Do you have anybody, your neighbor, somebody that you work with, a friend in school? Do you know anybody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus? If you do, raise your hand this morning. Look around. We all have a reason to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because those that don't know Jesus do not have and share in the blessed hope. It goes further. Whom would you invite to come to an event? Who would you invite to come to party with the pastor? Who would you invite to come to church if you knew that in 6 months, if they don't change their life, they won't be part of that blessed hope? Doesn't that change our perspective a little bit? What would you do differently? What would change if you knew for certain that Jesus' return was just 6 months away? It's a hard question to contemplate, but friends, what makes you so certain that it's not? So See, as I was sharing all that, if you thought of things that you would change, if you thought, yeah, I would probably start praying for this person, even though this person gets on my nerves all the time, but I know they need Jesus. If you thought of things that you would change, if you thought of people that you would start to pursue, prayers that you would pray that you're not currently praying, then I submit to you, perhaps you aren't sharing in the daily hope and expectation of Jesus' second return. And I would warn you to don't be a Christian. Everyone sees me doing this, right? Okay. Don't be a Christian. I'm not saying don't be a Christian. Don't be a Christian and be part of the church, yet remain unfaithful to Christ. Don't be a Christian and don't have a relationship with Him. For those that are married in here, how would your relationship with your spouse be if you didn't have a relationship? Not very good, right? Ceases to exist, right? We have to build that relationship. If we fall in that category, I would submit to you that there would be those that would not be caught up in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ on His soon return. So what does this mean to us today? I don't have it on the screen, but I want to read this scripture to you. It's Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. When I said earlier that there is scripture throughout, there are verses throughout scripture that tell us to remain focused and diligent and watchful of His return. This is the parable of the 10 virgins and the lamps. And it reads this: "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish." 5 of them were Christians, okay? 5 of them were Christians, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Do we feel today that the bridegroom is a long time in coming? Right? "And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived." The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore," here's the warning, "therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of Jesus' return." Because we don't know the day or the hour, we must be ready. We must have a faithful relationship with Jesus. We must have an intentional relationship with Jesus. And when we have that relationship, then we can eagerly anticipate being reunited with our Savior, the fulfillment of the promise of His return for the church. We get to be reunited with Jesus, and then also we get to be reunited with our loved ones for eternity. This is the blessed hope. We have a whole community outside of these walls, and I know there's several communities represented here today. Wherever you live, you have a community outside of this church today that need to hear the truth of the gospel. They need to be warned, and they need to share in the blessed hope so they have something to look forward to. engaging our community for Jesus. For those of you who don't go to our church, this is our vision, this is our mission, this is what everything we do is about, engaging our community for Jesus. I'm here to tell you, church, that regular attenders, listen, this isn't just a fun statement. This isn't just a fun play on words that we created to say, yep, we're engaging our community for Jesus. In essence, what this means is that we're working to add souls to the kingdom. We're working to lengthen that list, add another page to the book of life of those who have written their name so they can share in glory. I want Jesus to have to get a bigger cloud for everybody to fit on with him. Do you? So ask yourself this morning, are you looking forward to the blessed hope? And what are you doing to engage others for Jesus? Worship team, if you want to come up this morning. We do church a little bit different than maybe some of you do. I just appreciate you taking the time to listen this morning, but we're not quite done. I would just ask that everybody who is still in their seats just to bow their heads, close their eyes. Don't watch anything that anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what the kids are doing. The kids will be fine for a minute. I just want to talk to you and to you alone. The title of today's sermon, Ask a Question That Needs Answering. And the question is, do you have hope? Do you share in the blessed hope? If you're here this morning and you aren't sure, let's make sure you are. Let's make sure you're sure. I'd like to pray with you this morning. All it takes is faith. It has nothing to do with our works. It has nothing to do with our ability, but everything to do with our faith in Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, so one, we confess, two, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So church, this morning, whether this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus to be part of your life, or this is in a fresh way, we've gotten focused on other things, we've stepped out of that relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus into your life and to share in that blessed hope. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you this morning, would you please just raise your hand, let me see it, put it back down. On the best news I can share, we can all say today that we share in that blessed hope. Today is a joyous ending. I know sometimes we just sing a song and we exit, but listen, today is a joyous ending to the message. We have the promise of our soon-to-return Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that we will be reunited with Him. We know that we'll be reunited with our loved ones and that we will spend eternity together in perfection. We have a reason to celebrate. We have a reason to be filled with anticipation. So let me ask you this. If He were here today, if Jesus were here today, if He were coming into this building today, how would you approach Him? Would it be humdrum, lack of excitement? Or would it be from a place of overflowing joy and love because our Savior has returned? And I hope your answer is, it's from a place of overflowing joy and love. That's the place that we worship from this morning. That's the heart that we worship from this morning. So as we close, let me invite you to join with us in worship.